Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. One day closer to the NFL draft. First round is next Thursday. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on what he's been hearing coming out from some of these draft rumors during lying season, during smokescreen season. Predators fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2 last night. So yesterday, the magic number was one. Just get 1 point and you clinch the top wild card spot. Obviously, Predators did not do that, losing to the Penguins last night. And that Penguins team, my goodness, were they playing like a team that was trying to make the playoffs?
Yeah,
I guess because they are a team that's trying to make the playoffs. But the Minnesota Wild, John Hines pulling a solid.
Appreciate that.
Predators. Thanks, John Hines.
Hey, you did us another solid, Hines. Appreciate it. You're still working for the team.
Yeah,
he's an op. That. He's an op for the Predators.
Big cojones, John Hines.
Yes.
So essentially, with the win that the Minnesota Wild had over LA, and we were made aware of this in the middle of our broadcast because it's something, quite honestly, we talked about all of the different things, and it's still not sorted out tonight. There's so many still moving parts. Mm-hmm. But essentially, even though it doesn't say it on the official website, the Kings cannot catch the Predators now. So if Vegas wins out, they would pass the Predators, but they would also pass the Kings. And if the Kings win the last game, they would have 99 points, but the Predators have the tiebreaker over the Kings. So it's wild card one for the Predators. We know that. And it's very, very likely that it's the Canucks, but it's still not 100%.
I just don't like how the more and more I look at it, I just don't like how they...
It's confusing.
Yeah, how they...
If you think that's confusing, look at the East. The East is even more confusing.
Yeah, it's just, I'm looking at it and, I mean, so the Predators, even though they have more points than the Kings, there's no way they can jump above the Kings. Is that what you're saying?
No, the Kings cannot finish ahead of the Predators.
The Kings have one game left, and they're sitting at 97.
Yeah, and they're sitting in a third playoff spot, not the wild card
right,
spot.
Right, third in the Pacific.
Third in the Pacific, yeah.
And that's a bracket, right? There's a central bracket.
Okay.
The three top teams in the central, and then a wild card. And then the Pacific has a bracket. The top three.
Teams, yeah.
And then the other wild card. Mm-hmm. And so it is very confusing. It's moving parts. But basically, the Predators are going to finish ahead of either Vegas or Los Angeles. That is guaranteed at that point. So that means that they're going to be wild card one.
What did you see from them last night, Willie? Because it seems like at one point, obviously, they got out on the Nashville Predators early and put them, you know, they were behind the eight ball. But then it seems like that second period, they picked it up a little bit. But then the minute they picked it up, it just seemed like they just came with another wave of, you know, plays. Hell, they got two goals called back in the first period.
It was wild. The first period was a nightmare. Yeah.
From your vantage, because we're just watching it from television,
right,
did they look like the hungrier team? Because to me, when you know you're in the playoffs already, it's a different – not that they were not trying to win, the Predators. They were trying to win. But it was just I could see it being just a different feel for them.
As much as you want to have that edge and playing like you're playing for something, deep down,
it's like, okay, we made it.
Deep down, I think it's just a natural human reaction of this is the last game of the season and we're already in the playoffs. And I'm sure they're ready for a break and they will get a break.
They're going to get a break. That's a story for sure.
So what did you see in them last night?
I think you hit on it. And C. Mace agrees with you. Like, as much as you might tell yourself, all right, let's play to win. This is our last game. Let's set the tone. I think it was clear that Pittsburgh was the hungrier team. Mm-hmm. And they had to have it. And, man, they came out. And Sidney Crosby, of course, is one of the greatest of all time. I thought he was the guy that set the tone, right? He was the guy that came out and said, we're winning this game. We have to win this game.
And he's the one that's been so vocal going back to the trade deadline. If not making the playoffs is non-negotiable around here.
Yes, and despite that win, they still need to win another game and get help. So they're still their odds are not good of making it, but they still have a chance. It's one of those, you're telling me there's a chance. Mm-hmm. They need a couple of things to go their way. But I, to their credit, like that was a one of the greatest of all time players taking the team on his back. And then the other great players that they have, like I thought Erik Karlsson was great last night. There was one team that absolutely had to have it, and the other team I think looked like they would like to have it. They would like to win.
If you give it to us, we'll take it.
Right. If we, you know, maybe we'll play well. And I do think after the first period, Hal Gill made this point. The Predators looked like they kind of went in the locker room and said, okay, do we really want to have a game where we get completely blown out of the water? Because they were lucky to be down 2-0 at the end of the first period. It could have been 4-0.
Yeah.
UC Saros was great. And like you said, there were goals called back, and those were good challenges. But they were all over the Predators. 20 shots. There was like 10 great scoring chances. Like you look at the graph of quality chances, you're like, oh, this doesn't look good at all. But they did decide to come out and make a game of it. I think they'll carry out of that the ability to say, okay, the second period, the third period, that's a little bit more of what is expected of us. The standard. You heard Barry Trotz talk a lot about the standard when they canceled the U2 trip. The standard wasn't being met. After the first period, I think they had that discussion probably. That's not our standard. They played better in the second or the third, and they got bailed out. They got a mulligan because the Wild guaranteed that they'll be in Wild Card 1, which is, I think, what their goal was all along, is to find a way to get to Wild Card 1. Now we'll see if the Canucks end up being the opponent. That's the overwhelming probability. There's still a chance the Canucks can catch Dallas, which is crazy. And there's still a chance that the Oilers can catch the Canucks. That's the one little piece that has to be decided these next couple days, just sitting back and watching.
My mind is in a pretzel trying to keep track of all of these playoff scenarios.
It's so bad.
I will be frank.
During the game last night, we're laughing. And after the game, we're all talking about, okay, so we're playing Vancouver, right? No, this could still happen over here. Oh, yeah, this can still happen. It's just there's always
if this
can still happen.
Then
yeah.
that, then this, and then that. Yes. And then there's a 0.5% chance of this happening. So don't
they may
count
not find
that
out until Thursday. It's possible they will not find out until Thursday night.
And you mentioned how you think that was their priority of securing that wild card one spot. That's kind of what I gathered just based off of the lineups. Specifically last night, but the last three games against Chicago and against Columbus, yes, some of the veterans got a little bit of rest. UC Saros sat against the Blackhawks, but overall, I mean, you're getting the varsity team there. Like you are getting the top teams there. You are getting your top talent that's playing in the last three games for the most part over the last three games. Was that because they wanted to put themselves in a position to get the wild card one, to get a more what we view as an opportunistic matchup against the Canucks? Or is that Andrew Brunette's way of saying, we could have a full week, if not a week plus, before we play in the playoffs, and I need my top players, I need my stars to get as much in-game experience heading into the playoff experience, in-game work, rather. They've got plenty of experience. As much in-game work before the playoffs as we possibly can get to avoid a week and a half, 2 week plus break before the playoffs.
I think it was a combination of both. I do think that they wanted to finish as high as they could. And it is a little bit of be careful what you wish for. If it's specifically you want to play the Canucks, well, the Canucks could still pass Dallas, which is unlikely, but if the Canucks win the last two and Dallas loses their last game, it'll flip and Nashville will play Dallas. So it's out of your control, but I do think there was a very strong case to play everybody because you're not going to play. If it is Vancouver that you play, Elliot Friedman's been saying now, you know, he's with Sportsnet. Sportsnet is a huge rights holder. They control a lot of the TV slots, and it looks like Vancouver will open their series at home on Tuesday, regardless of who they play, and that's very likely to be the Predators. That would be over a week without playing a game. So I think in consultation with the leadership group, talking to UC Soros. Like, I don't think he wanted to go any longer than he had to without playing a game. Like, that's still, that's an uncanny amount. It's almost like a bye week.
It is a bye week.
It's an all-star break.
Like an all-star break. And we know that teams can have trouble coming out of an all-star break, right? It's still probably
especially
fresh
if you don't
in
have
their
a,
mind.
A concert to cancel.
Yes.
So is
like,
this-
that's got to be keeping Andrew Burnett up at night. He's talked about the drip you know, with Joe and Robbie and Joe. He said there's something about a coach during the season. Like, even if you can fall asleep, the drip happens. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking about, oh, my gosh, we're going to have a week off. What are we going to do? We're going to come out rusty. Like, you know, you always
constantly keeps you up.
Yeah, like the worst case scenario, your worries kind of seep in your head. I know what that's about. Like, I know that feeling. So I think that is probably the biggest focus now going forward is how do I keep my team sharp?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because there's a long gap here. And do you have inter squad games?
I know that's that, like you don't want to like, have somebody
exactly?
take a
you don't want
take
somebody
a
get
shot
hurt.
Off of the hand or something and,
I
and
think,
get hurt.
I think every Nashville fan damn near passed out last night.
Oh my gosh!
I'm like, oh my goodness! I'm like, no, not the
like
last.
You've got to be freaking
not
kidding
the
me!
The last game,
this
please.
Team, knock on all the wood, has really remained for
yeah,
the most part
really
injury
healthy.
Free.
Yeah,
I have been holding my
knock
breath. I've been trying
wood.
Not to say
and
anything.
And when
all
that
year.
Happened, I'm
and I just jinxed the no hitter.
I'm like, you
got. But they've
to
made it through 82 games. That's
right.
All you can ask.
Injuries
right?
playoffs, are going to happen in the playoffs.
You would think.
Okay, so is this typically because? You typically don't see this in professional sports. Like, they try to end everybody's season right around the same time. So no one has extra time to rest or nothing. There's no added advantage. Is this customary?
No.
That they have this big of a gap?
No.
I don't understand. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
How anticlimactic does it feel that the season ended on a Monday night in Pittsburgh?
It's weird. Yeah, in Pittsburgh, like a team in the other conference.
Right.
Like that is not what you would draw up.
And I know the season's not over. You have the playoffs, but the regular season, it just like, okay, done now.
You what? You didn't play a rival. You didn't play somebody in your division. Or you
on a
played
Saturday
somebody,
night.
You know, across the world, basically. Not, they're not across the world, but I'm just saying in a different division.
Mm-hmm.
And it means nothing to you, but it means everything to them.
The only team that is finished with their schedule in the West is Nashville. Everybody else has at least one game, if not two more games.
Yeah, that's crazy how that worked
That's
out.
Not quite right. But my feeling is with Seattle coming into the league and Arizona being in a weird geographical spot, it has created challenges with the schedule, especially in the West where the travel's so crazy. The East, you know, whatever. Schedule three games in four nights, 4-6. Travel's easy. They'll deal with it. They have there's nothing you can complain about the travel or the schedule in the East.
You're going from Boston to New York?
Yeah.
Or
New York to New Jersey or Boston. You know, there's all those places.
Take
you
10 minutes
you get back home and sleep in your own bed.
You can drive your own car.
Yeah.
You can walk.
You miss the plane? Just drive.
Exactly.
Just
drive there.
Yourself. You'll get
you
there.
May make it there before they get there.
That ain't happening if you got to get to Edmonton or something like that. So I think it's created challenges. And so Nashville's getting caught here. They're I think, without question, going to have the longest time between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs. I don't think there's any question. There's a couple other teams, like the Rangers are done, but I think the East playoffs will start earlier. I think the playoffs start on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm sure the Rangers will get, unless there's a Knicks game or something, they're gonna play the earliest date that they can play, I would think.
The Predators fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2 last night. That's the bad news. Predators lose when they needed 1 point to clinch the wild card one spot. But the good news is John Hynes comes through. Does the Predators a solid
Who knew?
Yet again? John Hynes. Doing,
all you John Hynes haters, come on. Give the guy
a
little
favor. Giving him some credit for pulling the goalie in overtime. And also giving him some credit for taking down the Los Angeles Kings
Show
last
the love.
Night. And the Predators now find themselves solidified in the wild card one spot. What that means in terms of who they play, that is to be determined. What do we say, Willie? 90% chance that the Predators?
I would say it's about 90. It depends on what website you look at. I mean, you can probably look at the Money Puck, and they would probably have something
a very high likelihood of the Predators facing the Canucks in the playoffs. Want to get your thoughts on that. Our
91, according to 91. Sport Club stats.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes the whole game. 91%.
6% stars.
I don't like 91%.
3% Oilers.
It's not 92%, so I don't like
91%. D-Mace likes even numbers.
Yeah, just give me an even number. So.
What are your thoughts on that? Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have a thought. David is on the line with a Predators comment. Go ahead, David. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm just excited that we're back in the playoffs, but I've got a little doubts after watching Saras let them go by again last night. It's time for us to put a big man in there. Our little goalie's just not big enough, guys.
Tell me where you thought he played bad last night.
Well, you know, every time he's in now, it's 3 to 4 goals he's given up.
But you've got to consider
Every time he's in there.
I think that's not really the case. I think the one thing we talked about with Adam Bing in the last time, I do think is probably the focus between now and the start. I don't think UC Saros is playing poorly. I think they're giving up more chances than they would like to. Last night, for example, just according to Sport Logic, they gave up over 5 expected goals. That is really high. And a lot of it was more than half of it was in the first period. It settled down after that. But if you think about the goals, those were great plays. Those are high danger. Those are chaotic. That's how you score goals in the league. I thought Saros made a lot of great saves to keep it from getting out of control. I thought he played well in that game. I also thought they hung him out to dry against Columbus to give up goals 3 and 4.
Specifically
they just,
in the third period.
Yeah, they kind of just let the guard down, played loose. They thought they were going to score a couple more. I think it was a back-to-back. I think they were just like, keep the clock rolling, let's get out of here. And I was like, oops, we just gave up a breakaway. Oops, we just gave up a 2-on-1. You know, excusable stuff. Mm-hmm. It's water under the bridge. But I don't think they did UC Saros any favors in these last couple of games. So I'm not worried about that. I am thinking, okay, time to go back to work and make sure that everything is locked in with the defense pairs, with the system, the structure, to make sure – you know, you're playing that mistake-free hockey that, you know, what makes them good, right, is that pushing the defense back, keeping them on their heels. And then when it's time to defend, you defend well. No turnovers, you know, no freebies
and
going
they
back
had,
the other
they
way.
Had a few turnovers yesterday. Yeah. They were bad. So was the caller suggesting that a scar off being net and not
well,
or was he saying Lincoln? Because he said, okay, put the big fella in the net. Well, ain't no way in hell I'm putting a Skarov in the net in the playoffs.
And
no way in hell.
Is a Skarov that much bigger?
He is.
He is?
He's
okay.
Huge.
A Skarov is 6'3". Kevin Lincoln is 6'2", I think, listed.
But again,
UC Saros. UC
Saros
has been hearing this his whole
life.
It's just like Mookie Betts or Kyler Murray. I mean, just go down the list. Doug Flutie. You know, just think of famous undersized players in every sport. Muggsy Bogues, Spud Webb. You know, oh, he can't play. He's too short. You can't play goalie in this league. You're too short. UC Saros has been proving everybody wrong for his whole career. So he's been the same size. He didn't shrink over the last couple of weeks. But in the playoffs, I think he's going to have to prove himself all over again. Because if goals start going in, you're going to hear that. You will. I think not just from a caller who's a Predator fan, but maybe from the pundits, from the analysts. They're going to say, well, you know, there is a little more room to shoot. Well, yeah, but that's been the case since he started.
Yeah.
Now, statistically, for the season, these are, if you look at year by year, these are his lowest outputs, right? It's his highest goals against, not that it was bad, and it's his lowest save percentage. Not that it was bad, right? And he recovered from a very below par for him first half to two-thirds of the year and then picked it up down the stretch. So it's a whole new season. I didn't think Pecorine had a great season in 2016-17. Had his ups and downs. And then once the playoffs started, he was locked in and was awesome. The next year, he won the Vezina. But he didn't play quite as well in the playoffs. So it's like two different seasons.
And let's be completely honest and look back at the last month to 2 months of hockey that this team's been playing. UC Soros has been playing Vezina-level hockey.
Yes.
Like, he has been playing like one of the best, if not the best, goaltenders in the entire world. Has there been a few blemishes in that stretch? Sure. Has there been a few games that he hasn't been playing at the very top of his game where he's just standing on his head and saying, you know, 40-plus shots a game? Like, yes, there's been some blemishes in his game over this two-month stretch. Throughout the entire season, that's a different story. We know that UC Soros wasn't playing UC Soros goaltending at the beginning of the season. But I think to nitpick at this point of the last couple of games, maybe I'm just a big old Predators bobo and I'm looking at it through my golden blue glasses. I attest it to this team hasn't really had its fastball the past, let's say, four periods. But I think I can understand why. It's the end of the season. Mm-hmm. They had a back-to-back and then a road trip on Monday. They've secured the spot in a playoff. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because I truly believe that this team is going to come out in the playoffs with their fastball, playing their best brand of hockey.
Well, I look at it from this standpoint. You know, he's going to have to play UC type of hockey.
He's going to have to steal some games.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to play that way. Especially in the first round. And then as you start to move on, you know, it just depends on who they play. But he's still going to have to stand up tall in the net in order for them to have a chance to win. That's just basically how it is. But I look at him and it's not by happenstance or by chance that he struggled, that you have a new head coach and he struggles at first. The whole team struggled. They're playing a different brand of hockey. It's more of an up pace, you know, getting the puck on the other end. Let's keep the puck. That may cause you to make some mistakes, and because you're so aggressive on one end, that may leave you exposed on the other hand at times, especially when you're learning this new system. And I contribute all of his, really, and this is just me, I contribute all of the sort of flaws this year on him getting used to playing in front of a new system. Mm-hmm. The guys in front of him getting used to playing in this system. But UC is the guy that's going to fill it all. Mm-hmm. Because he's seeing everything. He has to adapt, you know, on the fly to what's going on. So he figured it out the second half, but that doesn't mean he's going to play flawless hockey. He's not going to play flawless hockey.
Pull him out of net.
Exactly.
In the playoffs.
Absolutely.
No, he's the man. There's no question. Now, you come this far. You don't just switch. Now,
that is crazy.
You know, there is an interesting question going on in Colorado right now because Alexander Georgiev, who, remember, wasn't the goalie when they won the whole thing 2 years ago. That was Darcy Kuemper. They put in Georgiev last year. They lost in the first round. Georgiev was having a pretty good season, an okay season. All you have to do is be good for that team. He's really struggled the last few games. And they've got this young unknown that is outplaying him. They've kept going back to Georgiev. And if anybody was watching the game Sunday afternoon, they had a 3-0 lead in Vegas in the third period, and he coughed it up, and he wasn't good. They lost in overtime. So it's like, now that's the precarious feeling, is when your guy's really struggling. Soros has played his best in the last, like we were saying, since the team caught fire, his numbers look much more UC Soros-like. So I don't think there's any concern going into the playoffs. But the playoffs are a new thing, and Soros has never won a playoff series as the starter. He hasn't had that many chances, and so this will be a great opportunity for him, especially in a year where in the summer they're going to be talking about his contract.
And let's continue this conversation coming up next, because yesterday, before any hockey was played, before LA and Minnesota played, before the Predators, before the puck dropped in Pittsburgh, I tried to prepare myself for the worst. But in doing so, I feel like I overprepared, and now I have myself in a little bit of a pickle. And I'll explain coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Lipscomb with pregame at 5:45 p.m. and first pitch at 6 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.
By the way, speaking of the Vandy boys, Jack Leiter will be called up and make his Major League debut on Thursday for the Texas Rangers. So way to go, Jack.
All right.
Always good news when the guy makes it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Frazier's paying attention back there. Oh, yeah.
Hey, don't worry. Nick
likes it.
It could be a take it to the bank down the road.
I like the tunes, man.
Thank you.
A little Hall of Notes. You can't ever go wrong with Hall of Notes.
Seven strikeouts maybe on his first debut. I don't know.
By the way, how are Hall of Notes doing? Are they getting along any better now? They've been in a...
Yeah, they were some...
They broke up, didn't they?
Yeah.
They've been in a squabble.
Yeah, somebody was trying to sell something one day, and they didn't appreciate it.
John Oates, he lives here.
Come on,
right?
Man.
So we got somebody to talk to John.
John Oates, I used to listen to y'all when I was growing up. Loved y'all got to get back together. Do a reunion tour. Please do it. I will be there.
We've got to make it. Yes. The world won't be right.
Absolutely.
Until they make up.
Like, that's like, you know, Fat Boys breaking up. You know, you don't do stuff like that. Hall & Oates, you stay together, man.
That's how I feel about NSYNC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you just can't break up.
Break up.
Like, once you sign that contract, y'all forever. Y'all together forever. I mean, shoot. Come on, man. Get it right for us.
All right, the Predators fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2 last night, but they solidify the wild card one spot as the LA Kings fell to the Minnesota Wild last night. I think I overprepared myself for the worst yesterday, and now I think I'm actually worse off because of it. I do want to get into that, but I want to get into your phones first. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Bicycle Boy is on the line with the Preds comment. Go ahead, Bicycle Boy.
Good morning, guys. It's interesting that this topic about Soros and his size has come up. My old seatmates and I were just having this conversation yesterday. I call the current goalie trend in the NHL the walrus goalies. And it is, and I think it's going to continue to be big goalies. And in fact, this new kid that just came over from Russia, what is he, Willie? Like
he's
10
he's
feet
like
tall.
6'7". He's like Hal Gill size. Yeah.
Gigantic, and I think with Uzi Soros, it's been his athleticism and his quickness that has made up for his lack of size. But now these new guys, you know, Bobrovsky and Shesterkin and these big guys, they're pretty dang athletic and quick as well. And it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see what Trotz will do with Soros' contract coming up, because I think I won't panic. I won't have any high anxiety if we end up not being able to keep him, because I think the trend is we need to go with the trend and get some walrus goalies in there. What do you think?
Thanks for your call, Bicycle Boy.
Walrus. I don't really have an image of a walrus being that quick. Like,
I have an image of a walrus in the net. You ain't getting nothing past him, but yeah, he's not that quick. You know, he can't laterally move and take. But I mean, there is still a space for a guy like Uzi Soros. There still is a space.
He's
for
one
him.
Of the best. Exactly. What are we doing?
And
he's
know
one
people,
of the best goaltenders.
People are like,
in the
listen,
league.
People now that they got in the playoff, they're looking at everything. They're like, man. How can we win a series? Maybe we need to change Soros and Ned and put a bigger guy. I don't know. Maybe we need to do something. No.
He's
trust
different.
The process. UC Soros is different. Just because he's small doesn't. I mean, he's proven it to you. Like, why question his size? Like you said, Willie, it's not like he shrunk 3 inches now that the playoffs have started.
Right.
He's always been this size, and he's been one of the best goalies for the last, 3 years?
Yeah, he's in the Vezina the last 3 years, mm-hmm. sixth, third, and fourth. Those that's where he's finished. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a couple of those years, he probably should have been a little higher than that, but it just gives you the idea. Now, this year, he won't be anywhere near that. Mm-hmm. But since January 9th, that's before the Predators heated up. There was a night, and Predator fans might remember, they got just waxed by the Ducks, and everybody's going, what in the world is going on? What happened? And UC Soros did not play well in that game. They got down 4-0 at the end of the second period, and I thought, You got to get him out of there. And they did that several times this year. It was like, what, six times? Lankanen at home had to come in for Saros. It was just odd that that happened. And it was at home. But they kept Saros in. And I thought he played a good third period. And Nashville almost came back and made it a game. I think they lost 5-4 or something like that. But that was, to me, the low point. You looked at the stats the next day. His save percentage was under 90. And I'm like, that doesn't look like a UC Saros save percentage. And his goals against was over 3. And you're like, that's not UC Saros. Like, what's going on? His career save percentage, I think, coming into the season was 919. Since that night, he's had 33 games, and his save percentage is 919. His goals against is 245. Now, that's much more in line with UC Saros' career numbers. So that's why I feel good about where he is going into the playoffs. 33 games is not like a small sample size. Even like he went 12-0-2 during the 16-game point streak or 18-game point streak. He was getting most of those starts. Those numbers are obviously lights out what he did there. But I look at the 33 games and I say, okay, that's almost half a season. That's a cross section where I'm like, that's the UC Saros level of performance that everybody's used to.
I don't want to have UC Saros contract talks right now.
No. There'll be plenty of time for that.
Undersized.
There'll be plenty of time for that.
Let's enjoy the playoffs.
He is going to be undersized. There are Mookie
He's
Betts.
He's not going to get much
Mookie
bigger.
Betts is always going to be undersized. He's still maybe the greatest all-around player in the game, right? Yeah. There are exceptions. Everything the Bicycle Boy said is right as far as the trend of goalies. They're getting taller. They're more athletic. You know, Pecorine was one of the first who was that tall and that athletic. And there's been more teams going, hey, we could use a guy like that. Can we find other guys like that? It's happening, but there always are exceptions. Like, ideally, your quarterback is 6'3 and can move and throw and everything, but, you know, here comes Kyler Murray. There's exceptions, right? There are guys that could still get it done, even though they're not the prototypical body type.
If you've been watching this Predators team and your takeaway is, man, goalie's not big enough. I don't know what to tell you.
Worry what Willie would think you're worrying.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so that's when you know. It's a little bit too – when it's beyond the confines of worry what Willie's things to worry about, that's when you know that maybe we just take a little bit of a chill pill. Maybe just enjoy the hockey that we're seeing from this Predators team. I do have a confession to make, though. So before the game last night, I was mentally preparing myself for – what if it's Dallas? Mm-hmm. What if the Predators lose tonight and they fall into the second wild card spot? That brings their likelihood up of playing the Stars in the playoffs much higher. So I'm just trying to prepare myself for the absolute worst. And in doing so, I think I convinced myself that I want the Predators to play the Stars in the playoffs.
Okay.
I went through a list of pros and cons.
I'm listening. Yeah.
I went through a list of pros and cons. And a couple... Hello?
My phone started talking.
I thought you asked Siri for help. Why to play the Stars?
I guess my computer thought you said Siri.
Not you, sister.
Yes, exactly. And she was like, what do you want to know? Stop eavesdropping.
So I wrote a list, and to be completely honest, I wanted the Predators to play the Stars a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then the Stars went on a freaking heater, and then I thought, never mind, no I don't. Give me the Canucks. I'm flip-flopping back again. I made a list of pros. The benefits of playing the Stars, it's significantly easier travel. And I don't care who you ask, I don't think that it can be understated, the element of travel. Maybe we make too big of a deal of it, but Nick crunched the numbers, and if it's a full seven-game series, it's what, 2,000-something miles back and
around
forth to Dallas three times versus 5,000 miles to Vancouver. You don't have to deal with customs. It's not a 4 to 5 hour flight. Like, that matters. It's the familiarity of the Stars that you've seen them more recently. And another point to that, it's not just the familiarity. It's the fact that you hate them. It's the fact that the last time you saw them, they whooped your butt 9-2. They whooped you so badly that it kicked you into an 18-game point streak. And I think that that's something, the identity of this Predators team, that fuels them. The idea of, oh, you beat us. You embarrassed us last time we saw you. And we're going to use that to fuel us. And also, it's fun storylines for us.
Yeah,
I like it,
it'd be nice to have those two teams.
It will have some storylines.
But is Vancouver?
So I've talked myself into it. I want to. Okay. I want to see the Stars in a playoff game.
You got a 6% shot.
As soon as I talked myself into it, the Predators solidified themselves into the wild card ones.
Now Vancouver is a deeper team than Dallas. Am I correct, Willie?
I think the Stars would probably be considered the deepest.
Team. So Dallas would be considered a deeper team.
Yeah, that's what Elliot's been saying that a lot.
More experienced team.
And I think if you look at, I can't remember what the stat is. The Stars have more 20 goal scorers than anybody. They have more guys that can hurt you. They don't have maybe the superstar at the top of the lineup, but they have three lines that all have 20 goal scorers sprinkled in there. So I think that's the strength of their team is the balanced attack. Vancouver has got probably the Norris Trophy winning defenseman in Quinn Hughes, Jack's brother. I mean, they're three brothers. They're unbelievably talented, all three. But Quinn Hughes has really had a breakout year. So he's the ace defenseman. He's their Yossi. And then they've had a couple other guys, Elias Pettersson and JT Miller, who have had great years that they've had for a while, and then they've traded for Elias Lindholm. So they're loading up. So they have depth, don't get me wrong. But I think people would consider Dallas a little deeper than Vancouver.
And also more experienced in the playoffs. And I think that goes a long way. And I don't think that we can talk about that being a benefit for the Predators while not also applying that to other teams that the Predators could see in the playoffs. We talk about how it's such a benefit for the Preds that Roman Yossi and Philip Forsberg and Gus Nyquist and Ryan McDonough and a long list of this team, like they've been in the playoffs, they've competed in the playoffs, and they've competed deep in the playoffs. That's obviously a factor here for the Dallas Stars, and I understand that. I understand how crazy it might sound for me to say, I'd like to sign up for a murderer's row against a team that is a perennial cup contender over the last few years and has a ton of experience and is pretty stacked from top to bottom. But I just talked myself into it.
Yeah, I don't want no parts of Dallas. I don't want no part. They got too many things you have to deal with. If one person's off, another person's on. They just, it's like they come at you in waves. And I'm not sure the Predators can handle a 7-game series with them coming at you in waves, especially if there's an injury involved. I'm not saying that they would, playing Vancouver is like the greatest thing either. But if you're looking at it based upon who you have to go against and their abilities to put pucks in the net, I'm staying away from Dallas. I would rather play them in the second round somewhere down the line, But to start it off, I pass on that one. Give me that other team over there. Not to say that I'm like I believe that that team's a slouch. That's why I want to play them.
It's no walk in the park.
Exactly, but it's like, which one do you want? Who do you want to play? You want to play the Kansas City Chiefs, or do you want to play San Francisco 49ers? They both are going to come at you in waves. And just pick your poison. Do you just want to deal with the quarterback, or you want to deal with a whole team? Which one do you want to deal with? I think that's Dallas in Vancouver. It's like, do you want to deal with a wave of people coming at you, where you get no break? Or do you want to deal with a team that, yeah, they do got some players, but you may match up a little bit better with them?
Well, let's get into your reaction to that coming up next. I talked myself into wanting the Predators to play the Stars, which truly, I was very firmly on the Canucks side. I changed my own mind. I'm flip-flopping like crazy over here. I'm pancaking
myself.
You're
like a fish over here.
I'm a pancake.
I mean, you got to pace yourself. We got a whole other 3 or 4 days of this here.
and we got another week and a half of draft talk. My goodness, we're diving right into the deep end. But I
want
to get your
mileage?
Reaction on that.
You going to blow your gas?
Vancouver to Nashville? For 14, if you had trouble long. 14 times, you ready? 35,373 miles.
Just a little more.
You know what? Give me those miles. Give me those miles. Give them here. I'll take them.
A lot of stamps on the passport there.
Yeah. Just a few more Netflix shows you can watch.
Exactly.
In the air.
I can catch up on my shows.
Yep.
Plenty of time. Your reaction on this coming up next. Do you agree with me or do you think I'm absolutely crazy? Because honestly, if you did think I was crazy, I wouldn't really blame you. We'll get into your phones coming up next before we catch up with Tim Hasselbeck at noon. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, Dean Mays. We will catch up with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in 10 minutes. We'll get Tim's thoughts on the latest that we've been hearing and latest that he's been hearing going into the NFL draft. We are less than 2 weeks away. And hey, join Nashville Super Speedway and the City of Lebanon for Speedway on the Square this Saturday, April 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30 p.m. I talked myself into wanting the Stars. And of course, as soon as I do so, it really feels like it is an overwhelming probability that the Predators are going to face the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs. But Willie, you brought up one point at the break that I think is important to point out, that there is still a very slim chance that the Predators could see Edmonton. That's one thing that I do not foresee myself flip-flopping on is not wanting to see the Oilers in the playoffs.
I think
give me no peace of Connor McDavid and Draisaitl.
At least not yet.
And the Oilers.
Yeah, and you know what's shaping up is going to be, because the whole thing with the Vegas is creeping up now, mm-hmm. and that is Mark Stone is practicing, so that's going to get everybody all bent out of shape because they're going to say, hey, they planned that, they planned it. So the defending champions could be looming for the Oilers in the first round. That could be really something to watch because one of them's going down. But I don't think, based on the history and the travel, that that's the ideal matchup. Mm-hmm. If you can pick and choose, right? I mean, you have to sit there as an athlete mm-hmm. and as a coach, say, we're prepared to play anybody that we get. The draw says, like, it's out of our control. You got to be ready to play whoever it is. But Edmonton is not the favorable matchup. So the Canucks tonight, if they can get a point against Calgary, or a point in their last game of the season against Winnipeg, that eliminates any possibility that the Oilers would be the opponent.
Do you think that
they need one point in two games?
Do you think there will be any line changes heading into the playoffs?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Not for the first game. Mm-hmm. And I was curious if he would play Cody Glass last night, and he went back to Beauvillier. I think Beauvillier's still has not played great, doesn't quite look like he is meshing with everybody else just yet. Zucker is meshed better, but I think he trusts the playoff history with those two guys, and I think they'll get the first shot. But I think Cody Glass has played well enough to where he's knocking on the door. If it's not going well in the middle of a series or somebody's banged up, I think they'll have no problem putting him in there.
And to have that confidence in your lineup having enough depth, like we mentioned, you're going to have injuries in the playoffs because ideally the Predators are playing several games in the playoffs beyond just seven in the first round or seven in the second round. You're going to face injuries. You're going to get banged up. We're going to have to rely on some of that depth. But I want to get into some of your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So we have equal numbers of texts calling me crazy mm-hmm. and agreeing with me. About wanting to see Dallas in the playoffs. So I
That's
think that might
world.
Be indicative of where the Predators fans are at right now. But Paul Texan says, seems like Nashville would have the travel advantage against Vancouver. Since they start on the road, they would likely get there a few days early and get acclimated and rest, whereas Vancouver will not have nearly as much time to recover from the travel in Game 3. How much of a factor do we think that is? I could see that being, you know, at least a little bit of a factor, but still, at the end of the day, you're still... It's a cross-country flight.
Yeah, it typically hurts you going east from west. At least that's why teams typically on the East Coast like to go a day early if they're going out west. Now, you may be right. I think the caller texts her. Once you get into a series, then the travel, you know, coming from west to east, it may catch up with you, but it's going to hit the Nashville Predators if they have to go. It's going to hit them early. And you just hope that they can kind of weather that sort of being tired, in a sense, from the travel. You hope after, because typically it's the first game, and then after that you sort of get acclimated to what you're doing. And it may be that way if indeed they play Vancouver. That first game here, it may be even worse because you would have already played a few games and then you got to make that long travel and come back. Nashville's coming, they would be coming back home to sleep in their own beds where they're comfortable. So it can be a negative on both ends. But typically when you're traveling east to west, It does. I'm telling you, there's been games where, you know, we're playing at noon or no, we're playing late in the day, and it's like, man, we would have already finished the game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's early there, but it's late here, and you actually gotta get your body. You gotta psych yourself up to get going at least that initial first quarter, and then after that, your body tends to like just fall into what it's doing. And whatnot, but that first quarter, or those, you know, for Nashville, is going to be that whole first game is going to be a game where they have to. It's like, we got to suck this up because there's nothing we can do about it in regards to, you know, the jet lag or whatnot.
I would love to hear like a sleep expert, mm-hmm. a you know, nutrition, you know, the people who study this kind of thing, what they would say. I know all teams consult those kind of people. I do think going out there early would probably be in play. They certainly got plenty of things. What else do they have to do?
Hell, leave games. Tomorrow.
Like, oh, when are we leaving?
Leave tomorrow.
We got to get ready. We got nothing else to do. It's like, what are we going to do for this whole week? They're gonna go nuts.
Go to the Sphere.
Ping pong tournaments or something. Let's go to the Sphere. Who's
no.
playing at the Sphere, Nick?
You need to do is plan a trip to the Sphere. And then
pull
just
the
cancel
rug out from under. Yeah. Practice wasn't good enough.
I don't know how many times they can do that before it starts to get old. Before it's like, we know we're not going.
Fish is performing at the Sphere.
Who is?
Fish.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Fish. Oh, yeah.
Not a huge fan of fish myself. I don't know about the team. But
salmon? Yeah. Bass? What?
Different fish.
Different fish, D-Maze.
All right, we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft going down in Detroit, and ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Maze, hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card, rather, right now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville.